From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
It was a major week for faith, family, and freedom, all coinciding with National Day of Prayer, important updates from the state capitol in Lincoln, as well as nationally in Washington, D.C. I'm going to talk about what you need to know about funding for Planned Parenthood, the American Health Care Act, and what President Trump has done and is hopefully continuing to do to protect religious freedom across the country. Welcome to Capitol Connection. The Nebraska legislature is nearing the end of this year's session with just 13 days remaining in the session. And so this is the time of year with things winding down that things get a little bit rougher down in the legislature. Big decisions are being made. People are getting frustrated trying to move bills through. And we saw some major developments just last week with both tax reform and the state budget bill. The governor's tax reform bill, LB 461, failed to pass, coming up several votes shy of the necessary 33 votes to move on to the next round. And this is a major disappointment to many. We will not be getting any sort of tax reform this year since this bill failed. And really, I think in this situation, the perfect was the enemy of the good. We had an opportunity with this bill to get some form of tax relief in Nebraska. The bill would have lowered the top income tax bracket, which would have covered a lot of Nebraskans, as well as changed how agriculture land is valued, helping to put some money back into the pockets of our farmers and ranchers. And some senators felt that it didn't do enough. Others felt that it did too much. And so ultimately, there were only 27 votes in favor of the tax reform package. So here we are, another year, another legislative session, and still no tax relief. That's going to be frustrating to a lot of people. Tax reform and tax relief has been the number one issue for voters in Nebraska for a while now. And unfortunately, it looks like it's going to continue to be that way until we can get the tax reform and relief that we need in Nebraska. The state legislature also took up debate again on the state budget bill. We talked last week about how it's actually turned into a debate on the pro-life abortion issue at the center of the state budget, which is arguably the most important bill that the legislature will do all year. It sets the budget for the entire state for the next 2 years. And it was one paragraph in a 150-page bill that became the center of attention because there was language in the bill, pro-life language, that would have prioritized, not changed the amount of funding, just the distribution of Title X money, which is a federal grant program that goes towards family planning and health care services. Nebraska gets roughly $2 million a year of this Title X money. And so there was language in the budget bill that directed the department to prioritize federally qualified health centers, community health centers, and hospitals. So no one was losing eligibility. All current recipients could still receive funds, just prioritizing the groups who actually offer the most comprehensive health care services. And the reason this became a problem is because right now, Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion provider in the country and in Nebraska, gets more of that Title X money than anyone. So this would have essentially taken money away from Planned Parenthood and given it to people who actually do real health care. And so the Democrats and the Nebraska legislature quite literally hijacked the entire state budget bill over Planned Parenthood funding, even though the exact same amount of money would still have been given to women's health care services, just to different health clinics at a reputable place who don't make money doing abortions. And it was incredibly disappointing to see this language removed and taken out of the bill after it had been in the state budget bill since day one and voted on three different times. There were multiple attempts to strike that language. The legislature voted multiple times to reject those amendments, keep the language in the bill, and it kept coming back, and the Democrats refused to let it go. And slowly but surely, they started peeling off more senators. Ultimately, I think senators were tired of fighting for it. They wanted to get on to the rest of the budget, which is also very important. It's a huge bill. They wanted to talk about where money is going, where they're going to have to make cuts, facing a huge budget deficit, all things that should happen. And so senators started caving and giving in and would no longer vote to keep that language in. And Unfortunately, you know, we started hearing things that this isn't really a pro-life vote. It shouldn't be in the budget. Of course it's a pro-life vote. It's sending taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion provider. Why should hardworking Nebraskans be forced to see their taxpayer dollars go towards Planned Parenthood when it could just as well go to different health clinics who actually offer more comprehensive healthcare services? And right now they're going to keep getting that money. The vote was 25-19, so they hit the exact number they needed, just 25 votes to strike that language and keep Title X funding going to Planned Parenthoods in Nebraska. The headline in the World Herald simply read that Nebraska lawmakers vote to strike part of budget bill that would have taken funding from Planned Parenthood. There's simply no reason that Planned Parenthoods in Nebraska should be getting more of this federal grant money than anyone else across the state, even though they do more abortions than anyone, and also they don't do mammograms, they don't do prenatal care. They have a very limited number of services, and there are other healthcare clinics in Nebraska who offer more comprehensive services who need that money a lot more than Planned Parenthood does. But the state legislature voted to keep the status quo, keep sending tax dollars to Planned Parenthood, and that's a big mistake in a sad day, and even here in Nebraska when that's still happening, a very pro-life state. So lawmakers took out that pro-life language, but they did at the end of the day advance other key pieces of the budget to the last stage for consideration. The budget package calls for general fund spending of $8.9 billion over the next two fiscal years, which is an average annual growth of about 1%. It doesn't raise any taxes. It does, however, draw $173 million from the state's cash reserve or rainy day fund. And some lawmakers argued that the package did not do enough to cut government spending and warned that tax revenues would remain in a slump. The budget package closes a budget gap that stood at nearly $900 million in January, which has now grown closer to $1 billion. The budget package does make cuts to many different key areas, including the University of Nebraska, which was a contentious point, while also tapping into several cash funds. And the biggest change was a vote to shrink the budget cushion from 3% to 2.5% for the next 2 years, which the governor called a risky budget move. The budget bill is on its last round. It will need 33 votes to become law and set the budget, and it remains to be seen whether or not there are enough lawmakers who are willing to vote yes on this budget package. So while the state legislature came up short of defunding Planned Parenthood, actually the U.S. House did not. We got the huge news and a major pro-life victory that the U.S. House passed the American Health Care Act, which is a bill that repeals and replaces large portions of Obamacare and includes a provision that will essentially defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. The U.S. House voted 217 to 213 to defund Planned Parenthood and repeal major portions of Obamacare, sending it to the Senate, where it looks like it's still got an uphill battle. Reports are that the Senate is essentially going to start from scratch and do their own version of the bill that the House passed, so it'll have to go back to the House again, but needless to say, a huge step in the right direction. The American Health Care Act, backed by President Trump, would for 1 year eliminate more than $390 million, which is over 86% of the annual federal funding that goes to Planned Parenthood. But it doesn't just remove that money, it actually redirects that funding to community health centers who outnumber Planned Parenthood facilities by 20-1. And offer much more comprehensive healthcare services. This was a major victory for the pro-life movement, and now that battle moves on to the U.S. Senate. And there was actually video from the U.S. House of Representatives after that. The final votes were coming in, and the American Health Care Act was on its way to moving on to the Senate, where you can hear Democrats in the House taunting the House Republicans after the vote, singing the "Na na na na, hey hey hey, goodbye" song to mock the Republicans and indicate that they're going to be on their way out come the next midterm elections. But that's what's really going to tell what the American people think about Trump care and this decision to roll back Obamacare and defund Planned Parenthood. We're going to find out. And it actually didn't take long for Brad Ashford, who lost to Omaha Rep. Don Bacon last fall, that Senator Bacon's vote in support of the American Health Care Act has once again spurred his desire to challenge Congressman Don Bacon for his seat. And it's reported that it'll either be Brad Ashford or actually his wife, Ann, that will run again. Someone from the Ashford household wants to challenge Bacon and win their seat back, which I think is a mistake because Don Bacon has been doing an excellent job in Congress. He's provided a lot of leadership already. He supported the American Health Care Act, and actually he did what every politician should do pretty much immediately after the vote. He came out and posted a video explaining to his constituents his thoughts and why he voted the way he did, which is essential. That when our representatives make these key decisions, they can explain why they reached their conclusion or voted the way that they did. And that's what Congressman Bacon has done. And I think it's important for everyone to hear his reasoning. So I'm going to go ahead and actually play some of his remarks and comments explaining his vote in favor of the American Health Care Act. So here is Nebraska Congressman Don Bacon explaining his vote in favor of the American Health Care Act.
The American Health Care Act, or the AHCA, is a first step in the right direction and repeals much of Obamacare. This bill lowers costs, will expand choices, and protects people with pre-existing conditions. Obamacare has failed the American people. If we continue down the Obamacare road, it will eventually collapse on itself, and we cannot let this happen. All over the United States, Americans are suffering under Obamacare. The Des Moines Register reported earlier this week that Medica, the last insurer selling individual health policies in most of Iowa, may stop selling individual health policies in Iowa. This will leave over 70,000 Iowans without any options. Here in Nebraska, I have talked to folks all around Omaha area, and I keep hearing the same thing. Obamacare is filled with broken promises. I have heard from Nebraskans who can't afford to pay their out-of-control, skyrocketing premiums, which in Nebraska, health insurance premiums have increased by 51% over the past year alone. I heard from a young mother who is on Obamacare and has a $12,000 deductible. She had to pay for the delivery of her child out of pocket because it's an outrageous deductible. I've also heard from many Nebraskans like Janine, who had the insurance that she liked and could afford, but she saw her premiums double with the implementation of Obamacare, then her plan was dropped, forcing her to get a plan on the exchange that did not include her dentist or pharmacy network that she'd been using for 30 years. These are real-life problems created by Obamacare that will be fixed with the implementation of AHCA in the bill that I voted for. Obamacare has hurt Nebraska's small businesses. Many of Nebraska's small businesses are not hiring or expanding because of the cost of health care coverage. Likewise, Obamacare has hurt many of Nebraska's employees as they have had their hours cut as their employers couldn't afford mandated employer health coverage. The American Health Care Act, which will fix our health care system by expanding health savings accounts and giving age-based tax credits for those who purchase their own insurance to give them parity with those individuals who receive employer-provided coverage tax-free. This proposed legislation will also repeal major flaws of Obamacare, including the employer mandate and the individual mandate that has crippled our health care system. The AHCA will give millions of Americans more of a choice when choosing a health care plan that best fits for them. The AHCA does all of this while still maintaining coverage for those Americans with pre-existing conditions, even in those states that have been granted a waiver. The AHCA will make healthcare more affordable and accessible. CBO estimates that the AHCA will lower premiums by 10% over the next 10 years. It will reduce the federal deficit by $337 billion by 2026 and lowers taxes by $883 billion, providing massive tax relief for the middle-income Americans and small business owners. In the coming weeks and months, I, along with my House colleagues, will be working on other legislation aimed at further fixing our health care system and providing individuals with choices on health insurance in an open and transparent manner. This includes recent legislation that passed the House allowing small businesses to form associations and negotiate group insurance across state lines, and legislation passed that requires insurance companies to comply with the same antitrust and unfair practice laws as all other businesses. This is subject to insurers to federal laws against price fixing and bid rigging. As always, I look forward to hearing from our constituents and encourage you to call or write me with any concerns you may have.
That was Nebraska Congressman Don Bacon. I think it's important to hear directly from him. His reasoning for voting for the American Health Care Act is great to see that Congressman Bacon is already using his leadership and experience in Congress while being open and transparent with his constituents. So that's what's really been dominating the news, the American Health Care Act, and now it's going to have to get reworked in the Senate. But the other big news from Washington was President Donald Trump signing an executive order on protecting religious freedom. He signed the executive order on Thursday, which coincided with National Day of Prayer. And this religious freedom executive order from President Trump has received some mixed reviews, whether it does enough or not. But most evangelicals, including myself, believe that this is a great first step in the process. And it's really refreshing to just have something positive on protecting religious freedom coming out of the White House instead of the last 8 years with new policies and executive orders that rolled back religious freedom. So this was a really big deal. We talk all the time about the importance of protecting and preserving religious freedom. So to get an executive order coming out of the White House aimed at doing just that is a very positive sign that I'm very optimistic about, especially as it pertains to issues pertaining to faith, family, and freedom. And if you want to protect your vehicle, take it to Walker Tire and Auto Service for all your vehicle service and maintenance needs. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades and is here to help take care of you and your car at any one of their 4 convenient Omaha locations. Visit Walker Tire and Auto and get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. Every car needs new tires eventually, so when the time comes for you to get new tires, take it to Walker Tire and Auto and get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. And take advantage of the free video vehicle health inspections, free with each visit. Only at Walker Tire and Auto, you can hear directly from their expert technicians while they film, walking around your vehicle, telling you everything they're seeing, both good and bad. And then you can watch it for free right from your computer or cell phone. So whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire, going the extra mile for you. Religious freedom is our most essential freedom. It secures all other freedoms. And President Trump signed an executive order last week in the Rose Garden protecting and promoting religious liberty and free speech. USA Today wrote an article about the executive order saying that Trump wants to redefine the balance between church and state and that the executive order targets birth control and church involvement in politics. And here's what the executive order actually does. It calls for easing the IRS's enforcement of the Johnson Amendment, which prohibits churches from getting directly involved in political campaigns and has really, I think, stifled and chilled the free speech of churches for years. And that was a big campaign promise that Donald Trump talked a lot about, doing away with the Johnson Amendment. And this executive order doesn't quite get there. It doesn't completely do away with it, but it's at least telling the IRS they need to essentially back off on enforcing this on churches, and ultimately hopefully Congress will follow suit and actually do away with the Johnson Amendment altogether. But again, a great step in the right direction. The executive order on promoting free speech and religious liberty also aims to make it easier for employers with religious objections not to include contraceptive coverage in their healthcare plans, which means they don't have to pay for abortions. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price said that this will safeguard the deeply held religious beliefs of Americans who provide health insurance to their employees. And one of my favorite things was President Trump actually invited the Little Sisters of the Poor to join him as he signed this executive order, which was great to see. Little Sisters of the Poor, of course, are the group of nuns that challenged the Obamacare's requirement that insurance plans cover birth control. And Trump told them that their ordeal fighting to protect their religious beliefs will soon be over. And President Trump said that we will not allow people of faith to be bullied, targeted, or silenced anymore. And religious freedom is a hot button issue, but the words that President Trump spoke at this signing ceremony just really hit the nail on the head about religious freedom, its beauty, its importance, and why we should be protecting it in the United States. And I think most people who heard these statements would agree with them. So take a listen to some of the really important remarks and key distinctions that President Trump made as he prepared to sign the executive order on protecting religious freedom and free speech.
And we remember this eternal truth. Freedom is not a gift from government. Freedom is a gift from God. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty." Our founding fathers believed that religious liberty was so fundamental that they enshrined it in the very First Amendment of our great and beloved Constitution. Yet for too long, the federal government has used the power of the state as a weapon against people of faith, bullying and even punishing Americans for following their religious beliefs. That's been happening. That is why I am signing today an executive order to defend the freedom of religion and speech in America, the freedoms that we've wanted, the freedoms that you fought for so long, and we are doing it in just a little while right over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. No American should be forced to choose between the dictates of the federal government and the tenets of their faith. As I campaigned across the country, faith leaders explained that they were prevented from speaking their minds because of a 1954 rule known as the Johnson Amendment. I spoke about it a lot. Under this rule, if a pastor, priest, or imam speaks about issues of public or political importance, they are threatened with the loss of their tax-exempt status, a crippling financial punishment. Very, very unfair. But no longer. I promised to take action if I won. If I didn't win, I gave you no promise, that's for sure. If I didn't win, I guess I'd be gone, right? I'd be out enjoying my life, I think. But I wouldn't be helping you with the Johnson Amendment. And to this end, this financial threat against the faith community is over. In just a few moments, I will be signing an executive order to follow through on that pledge and to prevent the Johnson Amendment from interfering with your First Amendment rights. And you're the people I want to listen to. Other people are allowed to tell me and everybody what to do. I want to hear it from you. And so do a lot of other people. So you're now in a position where you can say what you want to say. And I know you'll only say good, and you'll say what's in your heart. And that's what we want from you. You are great, great people. You are great, great people. Thank you.
That was President Donald Trump last Thursday, National Day of Prayer, making his remarks before signing his executive order to protect religious freedom. And look, I hope that this is just the first step and many step towards protecting religious freedom that the White House administration will take. But what a breath of fresh air hearing those remarks from President Trump about protecting religious freedom and the dictates of your conscience and faith and not allowing government to punish people because of their sincerely held beliefs. So yes, I think there is more that can be done and needs to be done to protect our religious liberties. But what an important first step. And that's why I'm playing those remarks from President Trump, because it is essential. And he said some really important things that I'm greatly encouraged by and hope that he will keep building on. Such an important week this past week for faith, family, and freedom, all coinciding with the National Day of Prayer. That's what Capital Connection is all about, keeping you apprised of what's going on from our state capital here locally in Lincoln, Nebraska, and also the breaking news and important updates that you need to know about on the issues you care about from Washington, D.C. So thank you for listening, and thank you to sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto. Whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto, one of their four convenient Omaha locations. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over six decades and will go above and beyond to meet your needs. With the free video vehicle health inspection free with every visit, and the Walker Tire Advantage, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.